When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street. You
together, they formed a band whose names and deeds were to be retold throughout the centuries, the Knights of the Round Table.
All for one, one for all for one and one for all.
Some for some, none for none. Slightly less for people we don't like, and a little bit more for me.
All round this mighty land, we are his mighty band. Ooh, King Arthur's strongest knights, we are prepared to fight. Ooh, ever. All for one.
Good morrow, gentle listeners, and I prithee join us today on Broadway to Main Street. This is Larry Maslon, your host for Selfsame Show here at WPPB 88.3 FM, emanating from the slightly soggy hamlet of Southampton, New York. Well, that was the rallying cry of the Knights of the Round Table from Spamalot, and I thought today we would listen to some merry melodies from medieval musicals from days of yore. I don't know why, but musical theater seems to really kind of dig those middle ages. So today we're going to have a middle ages crisis. I guess it stretches back to things like, oh, I don't know, Wagner writing about Tannhauser and Tristan and Isolde and all. Purcell wrote about King Arthur, so why not the American musical? And I think one of the most popular shows at the turn of the 20th century was Robin Hood, a operetta by Reginald de Koven. But we won't go back quite that far. Let us go as far back, however, as 1927, when Rogers and Hart decided to do a musical version of Mark Twain's A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. You know, it's about that time travel back into the days of Camelot. And it was their first crack at it in 27, and then they revived it again in 44 and added some songs. But here is a wonderful rendition of a, what would I say, neologistically challenged song, Thou Swell, sung by Don Upshaw and our good friend David Garrison.
Wouldst kiss me pretty, wouldst hold my hand, for thine eyes are kin to what they do to me. Hear me holler, I choose a sweet lollapalooza in thee. I'd feel so rich in a hut for two, two rooms and kitchen, I'm sure would do. Give me just a plot of, not a lot of land. And thou swell, thou witty, thou grand.
Babe, we are well met, as in a spell met. I lift my helmet, Sandy, you're just dandy for just this here lad. You're such a fistful, my eyes are mistful. Are you too wistful to care? Do say you care to say, come near, lad.
Thine arms are martial, thou hast grace. My cheek is partial to thy face, and except if thy lips grow weary. Mine are their resting place.
Thou swell, thou witty, thou sweet, thou grand, wouldst kiss me pretty, wouldst hold my hand. Both thine eyes are cute too, what they do to me. Hear me holler, I choose a sweet Lollapalooza in thee. I'd feel so rich in a hut for two, two rooms and kitchen, I'm sure would do. Give me just a plot of, not a lot of land. And thou swell, thou witty, thou grand.
Thou swell,
thou witty,
thou sweet,
thou grand, wouldst kiss me pretty,
wouldst hold my hand. Both thine eyes are cute too, what they do to me.
Hear me holler, I choose a sweet Lollapalooza in thee. We'll feel so rich in a hut for two, two rooms and kitchen, I'm sure would do. Give me just a plot of, not a lot of land, and thou swell, thou witty, thou grand.
I've been married and married, and often I've sighed. You see, I'm never bridesmaid. Somehow I am always the bride. But I never divorced them. Well, I just hadn't the heart. Yet remember these sweet words, till death do us part. Darling, I married many men, about a ton of them, because I wasn't true to none of them. Because I bumped off every one of them to keep my love alive. Sir Paul was frail, he looked a wreck to me. At night he was a horse's neck to me. So I performed an appendectomy just to keep my love alive. Sir Thomas had insomnia, but he couldn't sleep at night. I bought a little arsenic. Oh, he's sleeping now, darling. All right. Sir Philip played the harp. I cussed the thing. I crowned him with his harp to bust the thing. And now he plays where harps are just a thing. To keep my love alive. You know why? To keep my love alive. Here's the fatal story. You know, I thought, Sir George, this child had possibilities. But his flirtations made me ill at ease. And honey, when Pearl's ill at ease, she just kills at ease to keep her love alive. Sir Charles, my favorite, came from a sanatorium and yelled for drinks in my emporium. Oh, I mixed him a drink. This child is in memoriam. You bet he is. Just keeping my love alive. Now, Sir Francis has a crazy name. He was a singing bird, a nightingale. That's why I tossed him off my balcony. I didn't want to hurt him. I just wanted to see if the child could fly. Sir Athelstan indulged in fratricide. He killed his dad, and that was patricide. And one night I stabbed him. I stabbed him by the mattress side to keep my love alive, just to keep my love. Well, I sort of want to keep it alive. You know, I love living. I dig living the most. But about the marriages, we'll have to talk about that on another record, honey.
And I dig Pearly May. That is, of course, Pearl Bailey singing the song that Rodgers and Hart wrote for the 1943 revival. Is that right? 43 revival of a Connecticut Yankee in a Connecticut Yankee actually is what the show is called. A song that people still do today. A great little party number. Well, today we're tackling verily those medieval musicals, forsooth. And we skip ahead a bit, of course, to Camelot. Now, when Camelot came around in 1960, I think the idea of a musical set in the Middle Ages, or certainly in King Arthur's time, would have been thought of as not corny, perhaps, but risky, because there were all those kind of dopey Black Shield of Falworth, Yonder Lies the Castle of My Father movies from the 40s and 50s. But obviously, Lerner and Lowe brought their particular gift to that venue. We did a wonderful Mel Torme show with Eric Comstock a week or two ago, and there was a cut I simply couldn't squeeze in. So I'm thrilled to have Mel Torme's rendition of one of the most beautiful ballads from Camelot.
I loved you once in silence and misery was all I knew, trying so to keep my love from showing, all the while not knowing you loved me too. Yes, loved me in lonesome silence, your heart filled with dark despair, thinking love would flame in you forever, and I'd never, never know the flame was there. Then one day we cast away our secret longing, the raging tide we held inside would hold no more. The silence at last was broken. We flung wide our prison door. Every joyous word of love was spoken, and now there's twice as much grief, twice the strain for us, twice the despair, twice the pain for us that we had known
around you, my lady. Reconsider. Camelot is unique. And we have, by far and away, the most equable climate in all England, ordained by decree.
Oh, come now.
It's true. It's true. The crown has made it clear. The climate must be perfect
all the year. A A law was made a distant moon ago here. July and August cannot be too hot. And there's a legal limit to the snow here in Camelot. The winter is forbidden till December, and exits March the 2nd on the dot. By order, summer lingers through September in Camelot. 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 I know it sounds a bit bizarre, but in Camelot, Camelot, that's how conditions are. The rain may never fall till after sundown. By 8 the morning fog must disappear. In short, there's simply not a more congenial spot for happily ever aftering than here in Camelot.
And I suppose the autumn leaves fall into neat little piles.
Oh, no, my lady. They blow away completely. At night, of course.
Of course.
Camelot! I know it gives a person pause, but in Camelot,
Camelot,
those are the legal laws.
The snow may never slush upon the hillside. By 9 p.m., the moonlight must appear. In short, there's simply not a more congenial spot
for happily ever aftering than here in Camelot.
That was from the film soundtrack of Camelot, I think rather artfully reorchestrated to sound even more medieval than the original Broadway version. Hey, if you want to know a little bit more about the difference between the soundtrack album to Camelot and the original cast album and how they marketed the difference, you can pick up a wonderful tome called Broadway to Main Street, How Show Tunes Enchanted America by yours truly, available at finer bookshops and internet sites near you. Well, we're going back in time. We're having a Middle Ages crisis here. And we're going thither and thither and yon, or thither and don. No don, anyway. And we will look at, you know, we just heard Camelot, but Lerner and Lowe produced this amazing revolution with My Fair Lady in terms of taking an English classic, in that case Pygmalion, and musicalizing it. And the gates just flew open, and in the mid-1960s, a group of people, I think from Oxford or Cambridge, and some rock composers decided to musicalize Canterbury Tales, the great Geoffrey Chaucer, you know, monolith in world literature. And it's not bad. They did a London version that did very well and a New York version that did less well. But let's hear two fun numbers from Canterbury Tales from all of you who slept through it in English Literature 101. Here are two songs from the Broadway cast of Canterbury Tales.
Arise and shine! It's time! The day is dawning! The cock has crowed! Madam from Bath is yawning! Time to get up, me lords, and say your prayers! Come on! Saddle your horses and your mares! Are we all ready now?
Aye!
Then play your parts and off to Canterbury. Bless your heart!
We're up! We're up! We're on a pilgrim way! We're up! We're up! It's Canterbury Day! And some are here for fun and beer, and some are here to pray. But let's go merry to Canterbury.
Pilgrims, the cathedral.
There she stands.
A house that God has built with English hands. So let us sing as night begins to fall that song the prioress has taught us all. For it is sure that love will take the sting from sin and death and conquer everything.
Quick, the devil is to rise and lead us by the bridle, and seven other ways he tries to hold us back from paradise, for he is never idle. He leads us up the hill of pride to the volcano wrath, and down again the other side to envy's den where he is gone. And chooses out our path thence to the pasture lands of greed, of idleness and lust, and love of money. Yes, indeed, he seems to know of every need in children of the dust. But our good angel is at hand. I hear his wings above to lead us to
And then in the Broadway version, they read a little Chaucer and sent everybody home, 67, 68, sometime around then. Well, let us move away from Merry England, that's M-E-R-R-I-E, over to France. And, of course, France had its own interesting history in the Middle Ages, not the least of which the story of St. Joan and the Dauphin of France. And obviously it had been done by Shakespeare, Henry VI, part 1982, I want to say, and Shaw's St. Joan, and of course it was going to be musicalized someday. This is 1975-76 season. Joel Grey as the Dauphin and Anne Reinking sort of was made into a star from this production. Brief production, lovely score, beautifully orchestrated by Jonathan Tunick. Good Time Charlie. So here is the Dauphin and St. Joan. Well, not Saint yet. The Dauphin and the Maid Joan from Arc, or wherever she's from, having it out. Good Time Charlie.
That crown that I put on your head doesn't make you a king. Yes, you heard what I said, doesn't make you a king. All the armies I led couldn't make you a king.
Oh, is that so?
I haven't finished yet. The throne I put under your seat doesn't make you a king. Half of France at your feet doesn't make you a king. Half of France, I repeat, doesn't make you a king.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You still have a long way to go.
Well, let me tell you that the halo you're starting to wear doesn't make you a saint. And that sanctified air doesn't make you a saint. All that kneeling and prayer doesn't make you a saint.
Who said it did?
I'm very sorry, but the voices you think that you hear, they don't make you a saint. Wishful thinking, my dear, doesn't make you a saint. Make yourself disappear, that'll make you a saint.
Oh, ho, oh, 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 you still have a long way to go.
Show a little respect.
I'd love to. Tell me when.
You're forgetting your place again.
Forgetting my place? And where is that, please?
Well, it's not on my throne.
Well, it's not on my knees. You can sit and sign your name till you run out of light. Doesn't mean you can rule.
Well, at least I can write.
So can any damn fool. If you does, you can write. Doesn't mean you can rule.
Oh, no.
Oh, oh no. Oh, no. You still have a long way to go. If you think that the breeches you wear really make you a man, and a chest full of hair really makes you a man, and whatever's down there really makes you a man.
Where do you think you would be if it wasn't for
me? I'll tell you where you'd be if it wasn't for me.
Back on the farm with the pigs,
you'd
chickens, and
stuff. That's where you'd be, my friend. That's where you'd be, mon ami, just in case you don't know. I'm not complaining. I lost some weight.
I'm still ahead. I lost so much before that actually I'm gaining even while I lose.
So like we said,
the sun will go the ice again. I'll take a bath.
What a lovely song. A duet from the second act of Good Time Charlie. That was Richard Schall and Susan Browning about how tough life can be in the Middle Ages, but every jet black cloud has its silver lining. Let's stay in France for one more show. This was a Disney musical that was probably one of the more serious of their animated fare. They've tried putting it on stage a couple times, but I think the soundtrack from the movie is pretty great. It is, of course, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, scored by Menken and Schwartz. And here's Tom Hulce, who knew he had those kind of pipes, as Quasimodo looking down from the great, great cathedral of Notre Dame on the world out there.
Safe behind these windows and these parapets of stone, gazing at the people down below me. All my life I watch them as I hide up here alone, hungry for the histories they show me. All my life I memorize their faces, knowing them as they will never know me. All my life I wonder how it feels to pass a day not above them, but part of them. And up there, living in the sun, give me one day up there. All I ask is one, to hope forever up there, where they all live on. What I dare, just to live one day out there. Out there among the millers and the weavers and their wives, through the roofs and gables I can see them. Every day they shout, scold, and go about their lives, heedless of the gift it is to be them. If I was in their skin, I'd treasure every instant out there, strolling by the sand, taste the morning out there, like ordinary men who freely walk about there just one day, and then I swear I'll be content with my share. Won't resent, won't despair, old and bent, I won't care. I'll have spent one day out
Thomas Hulce, wow, nicely done. I thought the Hunchback musical was called Bells Are Ringing. Maybe I have a different show in mind. Anyway, let us go back to England. Here are two songs from British musicals, 60s and I think early 80s. The Brits just love this medieval stuff. They love the Wimples and the codpieces and the lutes and the the, I don't know, whatever, the bassoons, whatever they're called, frumbles, frumbalunus, who knows. Anyway, this is Twang, a famously disastrous Lionel Bart musical about Robin Hood that was one of the great disasters in British musical theater history. But Lionel Bart's a talented guy, and here is a lovely song sung by Maid Marian in the first act.
Here's a leafy bower that is sheltered from the wind. Dozing off will our little discipline of mind. Don't just dream that silly dream that never ends. If you must dream, then do have dreams. Clever ends. You've got to know where you're going, and then it's only a question of time before your dream child's going. Mustn't show, you're to know him. Just let him grow in his own funny way. A woman weaves her web out of gossamer and draws her dream child closer and closer each day.
Going, you and he were doing fine. Sure.
forsooth. That was Elaine Page in a bit of musical minstrelsy from the pen of Tim Rice and a lovely composer named Stephen Oliver. A musical from the 80s called Blondel, about a medieval minstrel, which never quite made it to New York, but that's a nice little song. Well, let's look at a show that did make it to New York. This is based on Monty Python and the Holy Grail, a movie I saw the day it opened in New York in, I'm going to say, March 1975. I still have the coconut that Eric Idle gave me. And, of course, it became a mega hit in the musical comedy spectrum. Here is the funnest number from Spamalot.
Mama, say, mama, say, mama, goose.
They're knights of the round table.
They dance whenever they're able.
Oh, they're knights.
Not days, but nights.
Not done, not does, not laid out, but knights. Of the round table, round table, round table, round table, round table,
round table, round table, round table, round table.
So try your luck and come along.
Camelot, indeed. What fun that show was. Well, we'll go a little further into the British hierarchy of dynasties of kings, and now we're in the Tudor dynasty and a Tudor garage, and we have a musical about Henry VIII called Rex by Richard Rodgers and Sheldon Harnick, and there's a song at the end that'll take us a little bit out of the Dark Ages and into the next turn of history's cycle. This is Penny Fuller as the young, not Princess Elizabeth, thinking about how the world may change when she assumes the throne.
Though I'm anxious and uncertain, and I feel I'm in a maze, and before me and behind me there is only mist and haze. In the clockwork there's a promise that it's just a passing phase, and the mist will melt in time, and the haze will clear in time, and my doubt and fear in time will fade away, and in time I'll behold what's hidden today. I'll see in time, I'll know. I'll change in time and grow in time. So today I'll do what I must, and I'll put my faith and trust in time. Though I'm starting on a journey and I don't know where I'm bound, and the questions that bombard me make my brain spin round and round, there is comfort and assurance in the clockwork's constant sound, that I'll find my way in time, and the dawn will break in time, and what seems opaque in time I'll understand, and what seems out of reach will be in my hand. I'll see in time, I'll know. In the seed all the answers that I need wait in time, in time.
Penny Fuller from the Richard Rodgers Sheldon Harnick Musical of Rex. Hi, Sheldon. I hope you're listening out there in the Hamptons, which we are at today. I forgot to say earlier, we're at WPPB, Peconic Public Broadcasting, and we've gone back in time, get it, to the Middle Ages to look at a bunch of songs written, you know, through the almost 100 years now, 1927 on, about shows that dealt with the Middle Ages. And I don't know, it's sort of fun and curious. It seems to be something rather tempting for songwriters and book writers to adapt. I mean, Victor Hugo and Mark Twain and T.H. White and Bernard Shaw and all those people who wrote about these wonderful stories and legends and myths in the Middle Ages. And a myth is as good as a mile. So I hope you enjoyed that today. I'm going to remind you again that we have a book out there called Broadway to Main Street, How Show Tunes Enchanted America. And I have a nice little chapter on Camelot, actually, because Camelot was not only, I don't know, one of the big number one albums to start the 60s, but yet another album that launched Julie Andrews as, I think, probably the greatest record seller, practically, of the 1960s, including the Beatles. At any rate. Well, we have come verily to the end of our medieval musical session. So gramercy, which is a way I think of saying thanks a lot for sticking through that. And if we are going to leave the Middle Ages, we have to be welcomed into the next era of history. And that era is welcome to us, from us, to us, from Something Rotten musical a few years back. So here is Michael James Scott dragging us out of the Dark Ages into something wonderful.
War of the Roses, Chaucer's tales, the brutal feudal system, Holy Crusades, bubonic plague. Can't say that we've really missed them. So dark and barbaric, so dull and mundane. That was so Middle Ages. That was so Charlemagne. Welcome to the Renaissance, with poets, painters, and bon vivants, and merry minstrels who show the streets of London are strumming their lutes
in puffy pants and pointy leather boots.
Welcome to the Renaissance, where we ooh and ah you with ambiance. We're so progressive,
the latest and the greatest, we bring it to you
with much ado.
Welcome to the Renaissance,
where everything is new.
Here we've made advances in the sciences.
We have the latest gadgets and appliances.
Our maps are made of pewter.
Our houses all are Tudor,
decorated with a modern flair. While witches are burning and wars tend to start, we bring you moments of culture and art.
Culture and art. Welcome to the Renaissance. Well, our printing press has the fancy fonts. That's right, we're fancy and very literary, theatrical too. It's what we do.
Chicken.
What's he making?
Well, I think he's found a way of freezing meat.
That's new.
Hey, look, it's Walter Raleigh. Found a new world, by golly.
And he's brought us all tobacco. What a treat.
Also new.
And we have a list of writers who were always writing something new.
It's true, we do.
writing's first rate. His acting's incredible.
Isn't he great? Isn't he great?
Where William Shakespeare is the top.
Welcome to the Renaissance, where 16th century experience. In the age that's golden, the olden days are over. We bid them adieu. Well, hallelujah. Welcome to the Renaissance, where everything is new. Everything is new.
Rebirth.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, we'll catch up some other time.